From WYPR, I'm Melissa Geer. We're On the Record. Telling one's personal story can be transformative. The Veterans Writing Project draws on that concept by offering free writing seminars to military members and their families. We hear an overview of the program from two instructors, Dario Di Battista, a Marine veteran, and retired Naval officer Jerry Bell, who says writing can be a path to healing.
Writing offers an opportunity to go deep on emotion, and so it does bring things up. But we always tell people, if you need help, go get it. The page is going to be there when you come back to it.
Then we meet former Army officer Matt Condon, a student in the program who shares some of his work. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, hundreds of thousands of men and women who have served in the military are living with traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress disorder, or both. For individuals who have experienced trauma, the arts, and expressive writing in particular, can have a significant therapeutic effect. This premise is the basis for the Veterans Writing Project, a nonprofit that provides free seminars for active military members, vets, and their family members so they can craft and process their stories. Here to tell us more about it is Marine Corps veteran Dario Di Battista, who served in Iraq. He's an editor and instructor with the program. He also edited the anthology Retire the Colors, Veterans and Civilians on Iraq and Afghanistan. Welcome back to On the Record, Dario.
Awesome to be back. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is editor and instructor Jerry Bell. She's a retired naval officer and the co-author of It's My Country Too, Women's Military Stories from the American Revolution to Afghanistan. Welcome, Jerry.
Thanks for having me.
Dario, you've been with the Veterans Writing Project since its inception. Tell us how it started.
So our founder, Ron Capps, who very much used writing as an important tool for his homecoming process. We attended grad school together at Hopkins, and he was very interested in figuring out a way to take this free education he was getting as given to him by the American people via the GI Bill and giving back to the communities that we had served. For him and I, people who've been at it for a long time, this is a way we get to continue to serve.
And you were a writer before being involved in this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And Jerry, when did you join?
I joined in the spring of 2013. I had been retired for about 5 years. I was doing the stay-home mom thing and just trying to write and submit some short stories. And one night, I really thought I had put the Navy behind me. But one night I was laying in bed reading a writing magazine and saw a little write-up on the Veterans Writing Project, realized that I had gone to the same graduate program as Ron, and I got out of bed, emailed him, and said, I want in.
Wow. And so you started in 2013. The program itself started in 2011. Is mm-hmm. that right? Okay. What happens in the classes that you both teach?
So we teach in a lot of different environments, and first and foremost, we're not actually clinicians, and we do try to make that distinction. While we do work in therapeutic programs, particularly with the military, we also teach in libraries, community workshops, sometimes sponsored by universities. Anybody who wants to sponsor us, we're happy to go wherever. It's a craft-based curriculum. We get to know the workshop attendants, which always range in a fantastic way. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, their family members. I've worked with Rosie the Riveters, people fresh off the battlefield from Afghanistan. And it's this really nice collection of people who have this universal experience. And now we're teaching them how to write the hallmarks of the craft of creative writing. And then they get to apply them, discuss them, and just begin their own journey to telling their own story.
So Jerry, it's like the nuts and bolts. I mean, this is like taking a writing course that you would take in college, or what do the students get?
It is. We like to joke that it's a Master of Fine Arts in a box, delivered in a weekend. But we really do focus on tools that anybody can use regardless of the level of proficiency that they come in with to make the writing more pleasurable for them and more fun for people to read, whether they're writing for publication or they're putting things in a shoebox for the grandchildren to find after they've passed away.
And these are the stories they're encouraged to write. Are fiction or nonfiction? I mean, can people kind of write whatever they are moved to do?
The craft techniques that we teach can be applied to fiction, nonfiction, and even to poetry.
And I read that there's a songwriting course that's coming up as well.
Yep.
Sometime this summer. That's pretty cool. So would you say it's more a focus on the therapeutic benefits of writing or the nuts and bolts of writing, or both?
I just think that any kind of creative writing, if it taps into the emotional heart of some narrative, of some story, it's going to bring things up for most people. You know, whether they've had significant traumatic experience or whether they had what they thought was a fairly normal childhood.
What they thought was a normal childhood, yes.
Right. Writing offers an opportunity to go deep on emotion, and so it does bring things up. But we always tell people, if you need help, go get it. The page is going to be there when you come back to it.
There's a quote on the landing page where people can learn about the Veterans Writing Project. It says, either you control the memory or the memory controls you. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Sure. In our work with very smart people, we've gotten to work with clinicians, scientists, researchers. There's a pretty cool science behind using art as a means of overcoming trauma. When you go for something traumatic, very intentionally, as an evolutionary process, gets stored in your limbic brain, your limbic system, your lizard brain. And when your body goes to re-access that memory, your physiology tries to recreate it. Your adrenaline goes up, your cortisol goes up. It's very hard. That's why if you're thinking about something sad, you feel it in a profound way. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about something traumatic you went through, it's hard for you to even want to consider. When you take higher brain functioning, whether that's art, music, dancing, or in our case, writing, essentially what you're doing is you're using your more evolved brain and you're applying it to this traumatic event, and it allows you to essentially put on radioactive gloves and shape, mold, take control over it in ways you wouldn't before. I know just me personally, when I first started off as a writer, I wanted to talk about some friends I had lost, you know, to pay tribute to them and let people know about who they are and the awesome things they did. And when I first started with the Veterans Writing Project, I couldn't even tell that story. Now I can tell you about my friend Sergeant Bill Cahir. He was killed in Afghanistan. He was shot in the neck and died. He had two yet to be born twins back home.
Wow.
Using writing helps you create intellectual clarity out of emotional chaos. You're reflecting on things that have happened to you, experiences you've had, things you've seen, things that have happened to you, and you're making meaning out of that. I don't know what that would be called psychologically, but innately, I've lived it, and I know it has a major impact, and we see it having a major impact with many of our alumni who have come through.
That's Marine veteran Dario DiBattista and retired Naval officer Jerry Bell. Both are editors and instructors for the Veterans Writing Project, a nonprofit that teaches writing skills to active military, veterans, and their families. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. Jerry, you teach a seminar that's for women only. Why is that, and how is it different?
We had noticed in the early years of teaching the Veterans Writing Project's weekend seminar that women veterans, compared to the male veterans in the class or even the women who were spouses, were not speaking up as much and sharing their stories. The obvious reason for that was that many military women have experienced either misogyny or military sexual trauma and don't feel comfortable airing those experiences around men. So we decided that we needed to create a safer space for military women to connect with each other. And that's another thing that happens too, is that especially in older generations, military women were assigned as one or two. There were never a large group. So we missed out on some of that fraternal bonding that happens in large groups with men. And what we found in running the Women Veterans Only seminar is that for a lot of the women, especially those my age or older, it's the first time they've been in a room with a lot of military women sharing those stories and experiences and being able to connect with each other. And it opens up stories, it opens people up in new ways.
And you have an excerpt from one of your students with you that we would love for you to read.
Sure.
Do you want to set it up?
Sure. So Donna Doe came to us at the one of the VA medical centers where we have run the women's program. She is still on active duty with the Army, so she writes as Donna Doe to maintain her privacy. When she was a cadet in an ROTC unit, she survived a horrific sexual assault. She was walking home from a party. She was followed behind a grocery store. She was raped, beaten, broken bones and teeth, and she was cut up pretty badly and left in the alley to die. Mm. She was offered an out from the ROTC program. She chose to take the commission instead. Not only went on to become an Army officer, she went to law school. She became a judge advocate general. And she has deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. Wow. So what she wrote about for us was about an episode in which, when she became a prosecutor of sexual assault cases, she broke down and ended up in the hospital. She writes, "It should not have come as a surprise to me a few years later, law degree in hand, when I completely unraveled. Though I saw it as my destiny to become an avenging spirit, tipping the scales of justice towards the victim, the truth was, their stories rang in my ears like a gong, rattling my brain and wearing away on my psyche. Sitting beside them, holding their hands, promising them it was not their fault, but being careful not to promise anything else, eroded the brick and mortar between advocate and survivor. I became like an exposed nerve, painful and raw. This case was like all of the others, a private first class, barely out of her teens, decided to trust the untrustworthy. In this case, it was her squad leader. The alcohol, the predator, the setup, it was always the same. I memorized dates and details, practiced cross-examinations and openings. The day before trial, I would practice in front of my boss. As I stood at the lectern, inhaling deeply, staring at an imaginary judge, I said, this is a case about a young woman who just wanted to go home. And I could say no more. The grief rent the earth open and swallowed me whole. I cried for 4 hours. I cried when my boss asked me if I wanted to go to Landstuhl. I cried when we stopped at my house to pack some clothes. I cried when they had me turn over my dog tags and boot laces, lest I hang myself."
Wow. That's very powerful. And getting back to something that when Dario was talking about the things being in kind of the lizard brain and working that through, in some sense, I would think that writing about trauma and its fallout could keep the author steeped in the events. But you've been working with Donna for a while. Has writing helped her process through that, and how, if it has?
She says that it has helped her to give chaotic details some order, some meaning. It's been able to help her shape that experience to be able to basically keep it in a box as long as possible. And she says, you know, that she's learned the value of tactical patience, and she knows when to lie in wait for her symptoms to diminish and when it's no kidding time to talk to somebody again. She says that it has made her more self-aware, and it helps her to understand when she can suck it up and when it's time to take a knee.
Dario, you brought one of your own poems to read, and a note to listeners, it contains references to graphic imagery. Could you read that for us?
Yes. Thank you. This is a poem called Body Bags. How am I to decide whose parts are whose? The mortuary marines will need to piece together the remains, and what is never recovered will be shaded black on their paperwork. But there are so many parts, and I can't tell who is Afghani or civilian or a brother I loved. I pick up the blackened fingers in the gasoline mud and the pieces of the charbroiled carcass that don't crumble when I lift them. I grab the thighless legs and the jawbone. I drape the body bag over my shoulder, unimpressed by the weight of what remains of mighty men.
Thank you. What compelled you to write this? Did you connect to something, or did you release something writing that?
So art inspires art. And for me, I had been teaching to some students, not through the Veterans Writing Project, through Community College of Baltimore County, a book called They Fought for Each Other, about the hardest hit unit in Iraq, written by Kelly Kennedy, who's a big supporter of our program. And there's just a catastrophe one day, and lots of people are blown up, lots of people are dead, and she writes about them collecting the parts of the people who have perished and walking back with the bags. And she's a journalist. She's an Army veteran, but here in this capacity, she's just a journalist, and just thinking about how can a body be in those bags. And that image just stuck with me in such a profound way that I needed to express it and get it out of me.
So you felt like you experienced it through her?
Sure.
Yeah.
So when I taught that class, I had a lot of students who did not have exposure to the military. They might have said, oh, I've seen some movies or something, maybe even ignorant about, oh, I've played Call of Duty video games, so like I kind of get it. Part of our initiatives with the Veterans Writing Program is teaching veterans how to write, but also giving them a platform to write through our literary journal, both print and online. And
that is called?
O Dark 30. Mm-hmm. And the most good writing is a gift. You're giving somebody a new experience, a new understanding, a new perspective they didn't have anything before. And it's impossible to read something like that and not be changed.
Thank you both for coming in to talk about this.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for letting us be here today.
That's Marine veteran Dario DiBattista and retired Naval Officer Jerry Bell. They are editors and instructors with the Veterans Writing Project, a nonprofit that teaches writing skills for creative expression to military personnel and their families. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. After the break, we'll meet a student who has benefited from the Veterans Writing Project. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm producer Melissa Geer, sitting in for Sheila Cast. We're talking about the Veterans Writing Project, a nonprofit that teaches writing skills to military personnel and their families. Earlier, we spoke with two instructors, and joining us now is a student in the program, Matt Condon, a former military armor officer who served in Afghanistan. Currently, he's a fellow with the House of Representatives Wounded Warrior Fellowship Program. Welcome to On the Record, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
When did you find out about the Veterans Writing Project?
So I moved up to D.C. in the summer of 2017, and I was just kind of searching for writing communities around, and the Veteran Writing Program popped up. So,
and what drew you to it, though? What made it stand out?
So they were doing a class about storytelling and fiction writing, and it was free. So I figured it was a good way to at least start networking with other writers, and plus, I mean, there's never a bad time to take a class and refine, you know, your craft and that kind of stuff.
So you were writing before? You were a writer before?
Yeah. I never really wrote personally until 2013, 2014. Mm. I went through a divorce and was having some trouble sleeping, and it's kind of where I started realizing I had anxiety and that kind of stuff. So I started basically just journaling to try and help myself go to sleep and calm my brain down a little bit. And I showed it to a couple friends, and they're like, "This is really good. You should do this more." So I started a blog, and when I got out, I traveled around for about 9 months to a year-ish, and just wrote about what was happening and, you know, some random thoughts I had while I was out and about and that kind of stuff.
Do you feel like this program, the Veterans Writing Project, provides an outlet or a community for you that you might not find in other writing courses?
Yeah, so I took some online writing classes, and those were great for getting back into like the technical side of writing and that kind of stuff. But I think this particular program is good because it's, for lack of a better term, like veterans are comfortable most of the time around other veterans. You know, we all kind of have a similar experience, so it's easy to talk about, you know, or it puts you at ease right away. And in a lot of these classes, especially if it's something you've never done before, it can be very tense. But at the same time, like, it's calming to have other people who you know have similar experiences in the same room with you.
That's Matt Condon, a student in the Veterans Writing Project here on The Record on WIPR. I'm producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. You brought an excerpt from one of your stories for us, Hippies and Cowboys, Rural Montana Culture. Set it up for us.
So I was in Montana right after I got out. I was still on terminal leave, and I was waiting to go to my next spot, which was New Zealand. So I took a minimum wage job with a horse outfitting company up in Glacier National Park. Mm-hmm. And we were right next to a rafting company. So we would do bonfires and drink beer together and all that kind of stuff. And it was just kind of interesting seeing all these different people from different backgrounds hanging out. And it was in the summer of 2016. So it was like right during the run up to the election. And there was, a mass shooting in France and, you know, another police shooting, and you know, you look online and everything's falling apart. And Montana, I mean, you look outside and everything's great and people are hanging out and having fun.
Beautiful. So. Let's hear it.
Okay. The title is Hippies and Cowboys, Rural Montana Culture. On the surface, it seems as though this group wouldn't get along at all. The political ideologies and lifestyle choices would prevent them from understanding each other. In the past couple months, the news has been bombarded with tragedy, from the terrorist attacks in France, to the anti-police protests turning violent, to Donald Trump becoming the Republican nominee for president. It feels as though we can't open our Facebook pages without a video of the attacks in Nice, a political meme demonizing one of the presidential candidates, a memorial to one of the law enforcement officers who lost their life. News outlets turn their 24-hour coverage to debates about gun control, the merits/lunacy of Great Britain leaving the European Union, and the, quote, monumental consequences, unquote, of their decision. How the coup in Turkey will strengthen ISIS, and whether Ted Cruz defied his own party by snubbing Trump at the Republican National Convention. It appears as though our world is falling apart, and the media watches with partial glee. Not in Montana. In late evenings, when the sun still hasn't quite escaped behind the mountains, the biggest argument is over whether Marlboro Reds or Copenhagen Wintergreen is better, whether hard cider counts as beer, or who has the best weed in town. News of tragedy in the other parts of the world isn't met with arguments over gun control, the hypocrisy of one party over the other, or race relations in the U.S. It's met with collective respect and sadness for those who lost their lives, and deference to the families who lost a loved one.
Did you feel kind of outraged that people weren't really paying attention to the news?
It was actually kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. We all paid attention to the news. We all knew basically what was going on. It just kind of seemed like everybody took a second to kind of think about it, let the emotions kind of settle a little bit before they actually, you know, made an opinion about something. I don't know. It was very comforting. To see people on polar opposites of the political spectrum just hanging out and having a beer. That's just kind of the culture there in general. And I think we've kind of lost some of that with, you know, social media. And it's easier to find the good in people when you're face-to-face rather than just seeing, you know, a screenshot on the phone or whatever and being like, oh, I I can tell everything I need to know about this person just based on what they say and what they look like.
What are you working on next?
So right now, I'm mostly working on jokes for stand-up.
Wow.
Yeah, I took the class, and there's something addicting about getting people to laugh on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm terrified of public speaking, but when I get that first laugh, you know, it's everything kind of settles down a little bit, and it's fun, and kind of gives you a new perspective on things that have happened in the past.
Great. Well, good luck. Thank you. That's Veterans Writing Project program participant Matt Condon, a former military armor officer who served in Afghanistan. The Veterans Writing Project is a nonprofit that teaches writing skills to military personnel and their families. We have a link to more information about the Veterans Writing Project and to the books and literary journals we mentioned at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.